Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Please rise for the gospel reading from Luke, chapter 11, 1 through 13 of the Common English Bible. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name, bring it in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us, and don't lead us into temptation.'" He also said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God bless your hearing, your understanding, and application of Scripture today. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, church. It's great to see everybody. Welcome to those who are here in person, those who are online, those listening on demand. If you would take a minute and pull out your lesson plan, which you see right here in the middle, your message notes, we'll be leaning on that heavily. It'll help guide you through this message. There's a couple of fill-in-the-blanks that will help you get the most out of today's message. I encourage you to utilize that. If you're watching online or listening on demand, you can go to our website under the Bulletins and Lesson Plan tab and download a copy of that for your resources. And again, if you're participating in a small group study around this message series, which is 7 messages in total, make sure you got the right dates and times and et cetera. So communicate with your team. If you need help, just obviously reach out to me and I will help you. If you're going to be leading any groups and need resources, let me know. But with that, let's dive in. Our message today is titled A Beginner's Guide to Prayer. And I want to start with a story, a humorous story, but a story I think one that we can all relate to. A young boy was going to bed one night and he gets down on his knees to prepare himself for prayer, and he says to God, "God, thank you for my life. Thank you for keeping us safe. Please keep us safe tonight as we sleep, free from any evil that may lurk. Thank you for the food we got to eat today. Thank you for my parents." And then he kind of pauses for a minute, and then he says with a loud voice, "And don't forget, I want a bike for Christmas." And his mother heard him, and she says to her son, "Son, you don't need to scream. God hears your prayers. He's not deaf. Just know that." He goes, "Yeah." The kid replies, "He may not be deaf, but Grandma is." So I want you to think about that prayer for a long time. I want you to relate to that prayer, because I think we should be able to relate to that little boy's prayer when it comes to the topic of prayer. If you Google the word prayer, you're going to find millions of hits, probably over 100 million in total, if you Googled it today. Videos, there'll be articles, there'll be a lot of information out there, books and preaching and teaching and just everything you want to know about prayer from a lot of different angles, from a lot of different sources. It's amazing. Prayer is an amazing thing. And one thing I've learned in, 35 plus years of walking with the Lord and doing ministry, the one thing I know for sure is this. I've learned a lot about prayer. And I learned that we're wired for prayer. Human beings are wired. We're created to pray. We're created to communicate with what created us. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. You can go back, I don't care if it's science, if it's religion, whatever history you want to trace back as far as you can trace back. The idea of prayer and engaging God, a higher power, have been on. Buddhists pray, Hindus pray, Muslims pray, Jews pray, even atheists pray. Even when the heat is on, I can promise you an atheist is screaming out for God. They're not saying Big Bang Theory save me, evolution save me, you know, science save me. Trust me, when the heat is on, when it's life or death matter, when the heat is on, it's going to be God. And most likely even Jesus if you're in the United States. That kind of language is going to come out. It may not come out with earnestness. It may come out of desperation. But it's going to come out. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. And what's interesting is that humans are really the only creature that prays that we know of. That we know of creature. Of all God's creation, we are the only creation that prays that we know of. It's possible ants pray and different things pray. Who knows? But that we know that we can show proof of and what Scripture teaches us. Humans are the only creatures that pray. So we were wired for prayer. We were created to pray. Ecclesiastes says this: God has planted eternity in the human heart. God, you were born with eternity in your heart. You were born to be a part of God's eternal purpose. And not just in this life, but for the hereafter. And I think that's important. The next thing that I learned is simply this: we're not very good at prayer. Most people will confess, if they're honest regularly, that they struggle with prayer. They struggle knowing how to pray, what to pray for. And if you're listening online or listening on demand or you're here in person, for many of you, if I asked you, hey, would you come up and pray for us right now? You would say, no way. That would cause me to faint. I'm not about to do that. Some of you, you know, if I asked you to pray over a meal or pray at dinner, it's not going to happen. It's just because you feel inadequate. You feel not disqualified or not qualified or not know what to say. Nobody has a PhD in prayer. Nobody. I went through seminary school. All my Christian education got 3 degrees. Not once did we just have a class on how to master prayer. Nobody was bold enough to step in and claim to have that. And one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, if not the second greatest Christian next to Christ, Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, says this about prayer. In Romans 8:26, says, we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. That's Apostle Paul, friends, saying that's who we are and where we are in our journey. And even the 12 handpicked disciples of Jesus did not know how to pray. And we see that in Luke 11. Pam read that for us. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I think that's amazing that the 12 disciples asked Jesus how to pray. They watched him heal people, raise people from the dead, turn water into wine, do miracles, cast out demons, all kinds of supernatural things. But never once, at least in Scripture, does the disciples say, Lord, teach us how to do miracles, teach us how to teach, teach us how to preach. But the one thing they did ask, for sure, is teach us how to pray. So think about that. Jesus constantly prayed, 24/7, 365, and mostly in secret. And during this 40 days of prayer campaign that we're doing, we're going to look at the prayer life of Jesus as our model for prayer. But here's where I think we get hope from this. So if Paul reminds us that we don't know how to pray, and the 12 disciples who are walking with Jesus are asking Jesus how to pray, it's okay to feel a little inadequate about your prayer life. Amen? I mean, seriously, if you struggle with prayer, just be honest with yourself. It's okay. And that's why today's message is titled, A Beginner's Guide to Prayer. It's why it's titled that way. Your first bullet point or your first fill in the blank on your illustration today, as we unpack these 4 truths about prayer, here's your first one. Our frustration with prayer are caused by our misconceptions, with this twisted perceptions of who God is, or twisted perceptions of how to go about prayer, or a combination of both. But this is where most of our frustrations with prayer come from. And most people that I sit down to and mentor one-on-one or ever have a discussion around prayer, I can promise you most of the time it's not their approach to prayer, it's their interpretation of God or their interpretation of how to pray, the purpose of prayer. And it's really important to know that, and I think that struggles for all of us. Prayer is not a magic wand. I had a magic kit when I was a little kid, and I was fascinated by magic. But prayer is not a magic wand where you just say, abracadabra, alakazam, you know, like Tudor Turtle, if you remember Tudor Turtle, if you're old enough to remember that. And he always wanted to be something other than a turtle. You know, he'd want to be a fireman or a utility worker or a doctor. And then he would get transformed into that, and then it would be miserable, and he'd want to go back to being whatever he was, and he would cry out to Mr. Wizard, if you remember, Mr. Wizard, I don't want to be a policeman no more. But it's not a magical wand. It's not. And prayer, let me just say this, it's not a genie before we move forward. Prayer is not a genie. It's not a bottle you get out, rub it three times, and a genie pops out, and here's this magical wish. You get to make a wish or get to make three wishes. It's not that either. And you've heard this language, especially if you've seen TV shows around magic or supernatural or even been to a magic show. Sometimes people will say, hocus pocus, alakazam. Do you know where the word hocus pocus comes from? Do you even know what it means? It comes from the Latin. And friends, what it means is the body of Christ. That's what it means. So, I mean, you can wrestle with that, but that's where that language comes from. And prayer is not a fire extinguisher. It's not one of those things where it's in a case and you break the glass in case all things go bad and nothing else works, just break the glass and pull out a prayer, you know. But that's how we treat it sometimes. Many times I'll walk into a pastoral visit, whether it's at a shut-in or it's at a, especially at a hospital where there's something serious going on. You walk into the room, and sometimes, especially if the family's secular, they may say something like this, oh, great, the pastor's here, now we can pray. Like it's the last resort. And it should be the very first thing that we're leaning on. But it's easy not to do. Prayer is not a tug of war, friends. And there's a myth that if you keep badgering God long enough, if you keep begging, if you say please, 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 please like 93 times, God will finally go, okay, enough. But he won't cave in. And that's a tug of war mentality, and it's not what we're about. And prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. It's not one of those things, well, here's repentance for your sins, go say seven Hail Marys, do this, and then you'll be forgiven. But this is what's all going on in the culture. I hope you hear this. I really hope you hear this thing. Prayer is not punitive. It's not punitive. It's not like a punishment. Oh, you did what? Well, then you need to go pray. It's like you need to go set time out. We kind of put it in that category sometimes. And believe me, a lot of people come with that. Prayer is a privilege. It's not a duty. It's a joy. God created us to enjoy God. We were never meant to crawl before God with our tails between our legs like the Wizard of Oz, like Mary or Dorothy and Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow. You know, that we approach the all-powerful Oz with that type of fear. The God that was never created that way. Approaching prayer this way puts prayer in the wrong light. And Jesus tells us not to pray this way. Jesus himself tells us many times not to pray this way. Here's one of them, right here in Matthew 6:7. When you pray, do not use meaningless repetition, thinking that you will be heard for your many words. So you're like, you can manipulate God or Jesus into honoring your prayer because you said it the right way or you go about it the right way. During this 40 days of prayer campaign and this 7-part message series, we'll uncover, discover, discard many myths that have turned prayer into a duty and a struggle instead of a discipline that we grow to fall in love with. It's a huge difference. In Matthew 6:7, listen to what Jesus says. We just shared it. This next point is God loves me for me to talk about him more than anything. So that's our next bullet point. Jesus tells us not to get caught up in that. And our next bullet point is God loves for me to talk to him about anything. And so if you're interested, so is God. Seriously. If you're interested, so is God. He wants to speak to you about everything and do so related to the human experience. And I believe he wants to do so for three reasons. And the first one is that God loves you. I mean, we might intellectually say, yeah, I subscribe to that. But if we're not really going to God and really committed to living a Jesus-centered life and spending time with the Lord, then why not? And so we have to wrestle with it. Why not? But it's important to know that God loves you. With all of our imperfections, externally and internally, God loves us. And where do you think the interests and desires you have for this way of life come from? They come from God. God created you for His glory. And so He gave you the interests and passions. And so He created you to enjoy God. And that's awesome. And thirdly, He is our Heavenly Father who's fully invested, committed, and loves everything about you. And I think that's pretty cool, personally. Everything about you, God loves. And if you're making choices outside the will of God, don't assume that God just co-signs that or endorses that, because it's not the case. But despite all your sinful desires and ways, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Right? There's nothing you can do about it. And so here's something to wrestle with. When you are caught up in your sin, whatever your sin may be, you know what sin looks like. It's apart from God. It's harmatia. It's missing the mark. When you are caught up in sin, or when you're not, does God love you equally? When you're engaged in a sinful behavior, does God love you as much then as He does when you're not? It's important to know that. Because when I go into treatment centers and to the prisons every week, I'll be there tonight. And I'm meeting with people who've done a lot of broken things and burned a lot of bridges and broke a lot of hearts. That mindset is what has them so discouraged and sitting in a space of spiritual disqualification. That I broke too many hearts, I burnt too many bridges. There's never a little hope that I'm going to be able to reconcile with God. And when you're sitting with that type of despair in your soul, it's terrible. And you feel so convicted. You feel so unloved. Because we look at prayer and going to God in a punitive manner instead of one of out of love. And so it's important, I think, to know that. Psalm 103:13 says this: "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence Him." Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, do you wait till your kids can talk before you start talking to them? No, I mean, we just heard all these celebrations about babies today, and your moms, you're talking to them as soon as you know you're pregnant, you're talking to them. Amen? I mean, so why do you think God doesn't want to converse with us? Because we've been silent for so long, or because our prayer life has been in the tank, or because we really haven't been going on to the Lord on a consistent basis. And if you come to church pretty regularly, and you read your Bible occasionally, and maybe you read a daily devotional, and then times really start to get tough, sometimes it's really hard to get engaged in prayer for this very delusion. But I haven't been speaking to God for a long time. You feel guilty. And so that guilt will keep you out of the game. And so I'm just telling you not to get caught up in that. Your Heavenly Father converses on you. He loves you. Even when your lips aren't moving, God loves you. 1 John 5:14-15. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that He listens to us whenever we ask for anything according to His will. And since we know that He hears us when we make our requests, then we can be sure that He will answer us. End quote. And if you're taking notes, I would circle that. I would circle that twice in that verse. It says, and I quote, "We know that He listens to us, and we know that He hears us." End quote. Twice it says that. Because of promises like these in the Bible, we can be confident God hears our prayers and listens to our prayers. It's important to know that prayer is a conversation. It's not a ceremony. I hope you really hear that. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a ceremony. A ceremony is a process riddled with rules and restrictions and regulations. And if you know me, I'm not a real churchy guy. I'm not a real religious guy, because it leads to so much legalism. And Jesus really spoke hard against legalism. And there's really six different types of legalism, and I'm not going to get into those today. But just know that it can put a stronghold on your life, and it can lead to a lot of bad theology, a lot of bad preaching, and Jesus spoke against this behavior often. A legalistic approach to prayer can lead to the delusion that you must do it in a certain way, or prayer doesn't work, or God will ignore you. That's where it leads to. This is why a lot of people don't come to church. This is why this place isn't full, because of these delusional twists about who God is, the character of God, what the mission of Christ was, etc. I could go on and on and on. In conversation, though, it means you talk as well as listen. You learn to say things like this. And so if I'm in conversation, just like I'd be talking to Jane or George or Monica or Pastor T or Dale or anybody here, if I'm in a conversation, we're just talking. And one of the things, you could just talk to God simply and say things like, God, what is it you want to say to me? Or God, what is it you want to say to me right now? Or God, what is it you want me to do? I mean, that is really important, that we just get into conversation and not into this duty and drudgery. And it's in our habitual. And what's the problem is we can get into this habitually, to this duty and drudgery of prayer, and we're not going to be too excited about it. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. It's a relationship. It's not a ritual. Prayer and meditation is about getting close to God and becoming acquainted with God. It's about getting to know God and improving our conscious contact with God. If you're bored, listen to what I'm saying. If you're bored and frustrated with prayer, it's because you don't understand the point of prayer. If you're bored and frustrated with prayer, it's because you don't understand the point of prayer. Guilt will take you to your knees. Guilt will motivate you, but guilt only lasts as long as guilt does. And then you're back up on your knees, living for your own self-interest, doing your deal, whatever your deal is. Your next fill in the blank and the next truth that we're going to talk about is God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Boy, I hope you hear that. Sincere and simple. You don't need flowery language and fancy phrases. You don't even need to sound spiritual. You don't have to use religious or spiritual cliches necessarily. The only condition is your heart. Keep it simple and sincere. Longer is not stronger, friends. I'll just tell you. Some people can pray and pray and pray and pray and go on and on and on. They use all the thous and these and it sound really great. And I don't think God's interested in any of that. Matter of fact, he tells us he's not. This is Jesus talking, Matthew 6:5-8. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or our churches or on TV and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they receive the reward in full. Instead, really important, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. What you're doing when nobody else is looking is probably the greatest measure of where you're at spiritually in your life. So go and be with God alone, wherever that is. And my friend Howard used to say, wherever that space is, put a big red X and go there as often as you can. And I've always loved that. Really important. He continues on. He says this. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ever ask him. Simple, sincere, really important when we pray. There's a story about the whale. You need to think about the whale philosophy. The whale philosophy is when you get on top and you're ready to blow, that's when they're going to harpoon you. So think about that. If you're getting ready to pray and you're getting ready to surface and blow, think about that. You might get harpooned. Hebrews 10:22 says this. Let us come near to God with sincere heart and sure faith. Simple and sincere, friends. There are two qualifications, sincerity and simplicity. We've looked at the first two pillars of truth around prayer. God loves to talk to us, to talk to him. God listens to our prayers that are simple and sincere. And here's pillar number three. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God loves to show his grace by answering prayer. One of the songs we sang at our last campus before here was Good, Good Father by Chris Tomlin. And amen to that. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to ask God, and it will be given to us. Over 20 times in the New Testament. If we're expected to align our will with God's, then we're in good shape. And over 20 times, if you're a child of God, you're encouraged to ask. Ask. And there are four possible answers to prayer. Four. Number one is yes. Number two is no. And number three is not yet. And number four is, you got to be kidding me. Right? And we've all said those kind of prayers. All of us have. We've said prayers and God's like, what? What are you asking for? Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wonderful things that you can never figure out on your own. Call to me. God knows what we want more than we know what we want. And we need to trust that. Later today, if you're a music listener, I encourage you to add Thank God for Unanswered Prayers by Garth Brooks to your playlist, right? So think about that song and what that means when you look back in hindsight at things that you had to have. The girl you had to date, the boy you had to marry, the job you had to have, whatever. If that would have come to fruition, where would your life be at today? So thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Matthew 7:11 says this. If you, being imperfect and sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? What a great promise that is. God wants to hear from us daily. He wants us to learn the language of prayer. That's the duty of the father, is to give things to their children. If you're a parent, you know that. James 4:2 says this. You do not have because you do not ask. I hope you memorize that verse. You do not have because you do not ask. This will be the theme verse, I can promise you, in this 40 days of campaign we're in. This will be the theme. This will be the cornerstone, the keystone. When you don't pray, you miss out on things in life. When you get to heaven, I think we'll probably be told that. Here are the things that didn't take place or come to fruition. Why? Because you didn't ask and you didn't pray for them. And we're probably going to be pretty humble when that happens. But here's the fourth truth in your handout. And it's the biggest one of all. And it's huge. And if you get this one and you truly understand it, not just intellectually, but you truly, truly get it, it will change your life radically. It changed mine. And I don't mean just intellectually again, but actually feel it into your life, into your soul. Because when you feel it, it's going to change the way you look at everything, including money, including sex, your job, past, present, and future, whatever's going on in your life. It's going to change all that. And this is the fourth truth in which prayer is built. And this is it. God longs to be close to me. Longs to be close to you. Longs to be close to his kids. That's what God longs for. He desires it. He wants it deeply. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to be close to him. If you're far away from somebody you truly love and you finally get to see him, you want to be with them. Just like our kids in Colorado, we'll be seeing this week, you know, and this new baby. And we got a new baby, Anna, who's just a little over a year old. Can't wait to see him. Can't wait to see him, touch him, talk to him, laugh with him, whatever. Can't wait. Can't wait. Well, that's the same way it is with God. God can't wait to speak to you. So go pray and go get close to God. He longs to be close to you. It's a privilege to be close to God. It's a privilege. He's got a 24-hour drop-in system, which is a pretty awesome, right? He's never offline. You can talk to him 24/7, 365 days a year. His displays aren't all jacked up, you know what I'm saying? It works every single time. And it's important to know that. It is. Isaiah 30:18. The Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. All right? That's a huge promise. I hope you memorize it. I hope you write that down on a white card and put it on your visor and know that. Every time you forego prayer, you're leaving God hanging. You're leaving God hanging. And friends, you were made for prayer. The Lord waits on you to show up so he can love on you and provide compassion. That's why we exist. And listen to this next verse in Hosea. This is powerful. This one right here. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Man, that's powerful when you think about it. So what are you waiting for? Seriously. And here's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and it was one, if you started the 40-day prayer journey this morning, you saw it, and it's John 15:15.
Jesus said, and I quote, "I don't call you servants, I call you friends," end quote.
Man, you're a friend of God. How cool is that? Seriously. And He wants to be your friend, but He wants you to be His friend. You were formed for friendship with God. So how do we get closer to God? Really important to know this. It's pretty simple. Whether you're talking to a young child, a teenager, an adult, here's the simplest way. Here's how you get close to God. Number one, you got to desire. You got to desire to want to follow Jesus, to live a Jesus-centered life. You got to want that. Do you desire that? Or what do you desire? If it's not that, then what do you desire? Your own self-interest, the world system? This is going to leave you empty, broken. Well, Jesus said, what good is it gain the whole world if it costs you your soul? So do you desire to know your Heavenly Father, to really live a Jesus-centered life? Do you desire that? So desire is number one. Number two, you got to spend time with God. You got to make time for it. And we all got 168 hours in the week. All of us. Everybody sitting here. We got plenty of time to make time for God in our lives. And I hope that you do. Psalm 25:14 says this. And I quote, "Friendship with God is reserved for those who have reverence with Him. With them, He shares the secrets of His covenant." So there's stuff that you're never going to know, even though you might intuitively think you do, unless you're in communion with God. So really highly important. James 4:8 says, "Draw close to God and God will draw close to you." What an important promise. And I don't think God makes too hard of turns for those who honestly seek God, who desire it and make time for it. God will disclose Himself. It's kind of like a hidden game of hide and seek, spiritual hide and seek. Seek and ye shall find. When my girls were little, they're all grown up now, but when they were little, they used to go hide and want to play hide and seek all the time. You know how that goes. And then you go hide. We had it upstairs, and they'd go hide, and then they'd say stuff like this. "Whatever you do, Dad, don't look in the closet upstairs." You know, and they'd be giggling. Right? And it would be a blast. Of course, you'd find him and act surprised and all that stuff. But God is the same way. He's waiting for you to come find Him. Seek and you shall find. Are you a seeker? That's the real question. In our last slide, the closer I am to God, the less stressed and more blessed I'll be. It's the entire purpose of the next 40 days is to deepen our friendship with God. We need to know God better. We need to draw closer to God. God is longing for us to get to know Him, and we need to know Him closer. He's waiting for us to talk to Him about anything we choose. Nothing's off limits. That's pretty cool, friends. So with that, I'm going to invite everybody to stand. I'm going to pray for you guys. The band's going to sing us a song. We're going to go into our time of giving real quick, and then we're going to segue, and we're going to celebrate communion with our friends from Hillside, and that's going to be beautiful and awesome. Father, I pray a simple prayer and a sincere prayer. I want the people here and listening online to know You better. I want them to fall in love with You the way You love them. I want them to know You the way You know them. And I ask that these words touch their hearts today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.